We got a guest speaker with us, Brother Justin Meyer, who's really not a guest. He's been here lots of times and has family here, and good to have him with us. And we're going to have him preach for us tonight. So pray for him as he's traveling the next, what,
3 weeks?
3 weeks? Okay.
Yeah.
Brother Justin.
Thank you, Brother. Appreciate it. Amen. Well, it is it's just always an honor, as we said just a moment ago, to be able to come to King's Edition, even unannounced, right? Just to be able to show up now and to know the church is here and meeting here again is such a blessing to me. So very, very quickly, certainly do pray for myself. I won't get into every detail of it, but the Lord has blessed and allowed us to come down this way, and Lord willing, the next 3 weeks we'll be able to come here for the Sunday evening services. And so I did remember my Bible this time. When Brother Grace was here, I walked in Bible-less. That was a very unique situation. But I did not come, you know, expecting to preach, but I am thankful for the opportunity to preach. I just love being able to minister in the Word of God and be able to hopefully be a blessing to you all tonight. It's been a great blessing to be able to preach already today, and the Lord willing, I'll be able to preach for Brother Ross this coming Wednesday, so looking forward to that as well. Well, I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Hebrews tonight, Hebrews chapter 11, and just as I do, if you're able to stand, I'd like to ask that you would stand as we read the Word of God. I keep looking on there and I'm seeing people that are tuning in as I go. That is kind of neat. So, all right. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they have desired a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And let us stop there and we'll look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love to us, mercy and grace, and watch care over us. We are thankful, Lord, for thy watch care over us and giving us safe travel as we've come down this way, and for each and every one that is here tonight, and for those that are not able to be here, Lord, we pray that you would just give them a special blessing. This is a beautiful ministry of the church, to be able to be live like this, and for just the outreaches of the church, we pray for them. And I ask, Lord, that you be with me tonight as thy servant. May you give me liberty and ability to present thy word in truth and in love. I ask, Father, that you would lead us and guide us now in the ways that are right and pleasing in thy sight. Forgive us of our sins. May thy will be done in these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, tonight I'm just going to simply title the message, We Are on a Pilgrimage. We are on a pilgrimage. And I think I want to begin by just simply stating that this world is not our home. I just think we just need to get that right there at the beginning of the message. We are just passing through on our way to heaven. We certainly will go through why we picked out this verse here in a little bit as we get through it, but we are on a pilgrimage. In other words, we're on a journey towards our heavenly home. And I also want to say at the beginning of this message that this pilgrimage is not always going to be easy. it's not always going to be just a walk in the park, if you will, or just that, you know, or the temperature. You all know what it's like to walk on a nice day, right? I mean, when the temperature is just right, when there's no humidity, when the mosquitoes aren't bothering you, it is just a wonderful time to walk. And then there's other times that you take a walk and the humidity is sticky and the mosquitoes are out and there's just the sun's blaring on you and it's just not as pleasurable. Well, don't think for a second that in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, that it's always going to be just that beautiful, easy walk, right? It's not always going to be easy. But although many children of God choose to take an easy road, this pilgrimage is one where our faith will be tried and tested. And you will get tired, and you will sometimes get discouraged. But remember, this world is not our home. Amen. This world is not our home. We are just passing through to the heavenly home. The other part is that we don't need to treat this world like it's our home. This is not the place that we are to lay up treasures. This is not our permanent home. We should not have any strong ties to things or people of this life. We should instead focus on the heavenly things. We need to be like Abraham in looking up and looking for that city that we read there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. Again, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking for that heavenly city, that New Jerusalem. And so, let's look at this message this afternoon. First of all, we want to look at what it is to be a pilgrim. And then secondly, as we live as a pilgrim. And then thirdly, that it is worth the pilgrimage. I want to encourage you tonight to let you know it is worth the pilgrimage. So what is it to be a pilgrim? Well, I'll spend just a few short moments here explaining on what it is to be a pilgrim. The Bible is describing here a person that has been saved by the grace of Almighty God. Just recently, my family and I finished up reading through during our evening devotions. We read Pilgrim's Progress. We would read a section of it every night, and that's what we did for a while until we finished it as part of our evening devotions. And so it was just natural. I told the church it was just natural that a message was going to flow or two from having done that devotion. And it was a great blessing. It's been a while since we read it, as we read through that book by John Bunyan. Well, for some of you that maybe haven't read it for a while or maybe not familiar with it at all, Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory that was written in 1678. So, Brother Steve, just before you were born.
Yeah.
Right about that time. I didn't point over at you, brother, so I know I got to watch my Steves over here. All right. So, written in about 1678 about this world and the one that is to come. This book, that is Pilgrim's Progress, is regarded as one of the most significant works of English literature. And it has been translated into more than 200 languages, and it has never been out of print. Well, the entire book is presented as a dream, sequenced by a narrator. The main character, of course, of Pilgrim's Progress is a man named Christian, who really represents every man, and Christian was living in the city of destruction. That was a representation of this world on his pilgrimage to the celestial city, and that is heaven. Now, Christian, along this journey, encounters all kinds of life's problems, entering into the slough of despond and meeting people along the way that are out to discourage and confuse Christian on his walk through this life. Now, while Christian was living in the city of destruction, he realized that there was this great burden upon his back. And all Christian wanted to do was to be able to remove this heavy burden that was upon his back. And his, oh, that's right. Whoop, I'm back. I promised the pastor that I would stay behind the pulpit, and then I moseyed on out. All right, I'm back. And all the Christian wanted to do was to get rid of this burden. Now, this burden, of course, represented sin. And Christian did all kinds of things to try to remove this burden, but Christian was not able to remove this burden of sin on his own. This burden of sin, and without the saving grace of God, you will be destroyed. You that are here today, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, are living right now in the city of destruction. But thank God, He was pleased to send evangelists. Amen. A messenger to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. The messenger of God that preached the gospel to the lost and dying soul. I mean, after all, it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, this beautiful verse, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But oh, when Christian found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Those other beautiful verses that I know are referenced here so often, and I use them quite frequently in my many of my messages, but right, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, again, Christian on this pilgrimage that he was setting out for as he was leaving the city of destruction, again, not of anything that he could do, not of works. He could not remove that burden himself. The burden, though, was then lifted when the grace of God was there. The burden was lifted. The weight of his burden was lifted from his back because he knew in that moment exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for him by saving him from his burden. Romans chapter 10. Again, pretty familiar tonight, I'm sure, to most. Verses 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that awesome to know? We don't have to overcomplicate that. We don't have to try to put things into that that are not there. We don't have to try to gloss over it either. But God saves. And he saved, again, in our story here, as I'm talking about this pilgrimage that we are on, this man by the name of Christian. So then a pilgrim is a child of God who is then sent on a journey as strangers just passing through, as I said in the beginning of this message, knowing this, that this world is not our home. This world is not designed to be the home of the Christian. This world has been marred and scarred with sin. But let me tell you, let me remind you again, we are just passing through. We are just passing through. We have the heavenly home prepared for us. How do I know? Well, I'll tell you, John chapter 14, that's how I know. Well, and there's many, many more that we could turn to, but listen, it says in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's how I know. Jesus Christ, the Lord, said that He's going to go prepare a place. Now watch this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise the blessed name of our Lord. So then, it is true that pilgrim trusts on the living God of the Bible. He knows who God is and he has the faith to press on. And so, beloved, let us not be, remember, again, let us not just hold our affections here because, again, we are passing through. Our desire should be the heavenly, whose builder and maker is God. We ought, above all things, to desire heavenly happiness, to be with God and dwell with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this, along Pilgrim's Way, There were times of enjoyment, certainly. There were times of outward enjoyment. And we have them today too. Right? We have times of enjoyment with our families and our friends and our relationships. And we have companions of whose company is delightful. And many of us have children in whom we see, you know, delight and wonderful things. Some of us live by good neighbors and are generally loved where we are known. But even in these things, they ought not to be our main focus. We should be so far from resting in them that we would be able to leave them all to continue on this pilgrimage that God has called us to. And certainly, again, we can enjoy and be around these things, but never get so attached that we wouldn't be able to leave these things to go and to serve Almighty God. Let me just turn you over to Mark chapter 8. Make sure you don't think I'm just like coming up with all of this, you know, weird stuff all on my own here. Mark chapter 8. In verse 34 and 36, through 36, Mark 8, 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, it's good to have these things that I mentioned, but Christian had to make a pretty important decision. I mean, he left his family. He left his wife. And people were mocking him all the way out of the city of destruction, which leads me into this. Because your friends and your families will try to discourage you on this pilgrimage that God has called us to. Friends and family will even try to discourage you in salvation, but especially on your Christian pilgrimage. Because your friends and family, if they don't know the Lord, they don't like to feel conviction. And even your friends and family that maybe are not as faithful as you are to the Word of God and to God's house and to living according to the Word of God will try to discourage you as you grow in your faith. It's happened. I've seen it. And it's sad. It's sad when a child of God gets excited about something in the Word of God and has been convicted to change to a better, to be doing what God's Word says, and then they're, oh, you don't really have to do that. Well, don't really do that. And they don't want you to do it because they don't want to feel any more uncomfortable. Christian made a whole lot of people feel very uncomfortable on his pilgrimage. May I encourage you to do what God says. To do what God says. Well, as I just mentioned again, this happened in the life of Christian as his family stayed behind in the city of destruction. And they, the world, all mocked Christian for going on this journey. But Christian was focused on moving forward. Abraham, right in the text that we read, was focused on moving forward, especially after that burden was lifted and he is a child of God. All right, secondly, living as a pilgrim. Let us now consider just a few thoughts again on how our life should be spent living life as a pilgrim. Now, I've already told you that the journey is not going to always be easy and all flowery and all happy all of the time, right? So we should desire heaven more than the comforts and enjoyments of this life. And when we're going through struggles, and when we're going through trials, remember, if you remember nothing else tonight, remember this world is not our home. If you just keep remembering that this world is not our home, and I'm probably driving everybody crazy. I'm doing the best I can to stay here, but I'm swaying, doing all kinds of things. I apologize. I won't even look up. Right? We should travel on the way of obedience to all of God's commands, even as difficult they may be. We should deny all sinful inclinations and interests. Look, again, we already read what God called them to do in Mark, but I want to take you now over there to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Christian found this out. He tried to go some different ways sometimes on this pilgrimage, and it became even more difficult than what the original path or the right path is. I want to tell you this. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go wrong when you're doing that. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Apostle Paul, he said, you follow me as I follow Christ. And so where Paul wasn't following Christ, they didn't need to follow that example at all. And so get in the Word and get the Word in you and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. We should follow the path that our Lord traveled, the right way as we travel to our heavenly home. We should take up our cross and follow Him in meekness and lowliness of heart, obedience and charity, diligence to do good, and patience under afflictions. And sometimes, as I said, it's tough. But as I said, we just simply cannot go wrong when we're looking into the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of my other favorites, I say this all the time at the church when I'm turning to scriptures, be turning over to Hebrews chapter 12. I certainly do have a lot of favorites, and shouldn't God's word be that way for us? Amen. Shouldn't we have just so many verses that just speak to our hearts? Well, here's another, you know, journey, if you will. Having just right, chapter 11, all about the heroes of faith and the baton that they passed on to the new generation to pick up and follow on in faith. We see here in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, and again that wherefore is chapter 11, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now here's the, watch this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I think that verse is just awesome. I'll read the rest of it here in a second. It doesn't say to look to another man. It doesn't say to look to the church. It doesn't say to look anywhere else, but to look unto Jesus. That's what we got to be doing. And then that's the church's responsibility as well. So certainly all of the things that are involved in being in one of the Lord's churches is certainly important. And to obey the pastor and all of those things are very scriptural and very important. But the pastor has also got to look into Jesus, as does the rest of us, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So as I said, we just simply cannot go wrong when we look into the Lord Jesus. So just like Christian, and then Christian found a companion named Hopeful. Now Christian along the way met all kinds of people, confusing people and different things, but Hopeful and Christian traveled a pretty long time together. And they found encouragement on those that made the pilgrimage before them. And we can and we should do the same. Not only from these great, you know, men and women of the Bible, but as Brother Steve mentioned, this Brother Steve on this side of the church, McCool, mentioned before we got started, you know what? We need to listen to these old men and women of the faith that are still living. And listen to them as they have taken their pilgrimage and are still on it as they're getting closer to that heavenly home. How did they get through? What did they do? And I've talked to a few, not as much as I should, but they're going to tell you that they trusted in God and they relied in His Word. But then listen to their life experiences. We have a lot to learn. Take advantage of it. And then, as again that verse said there in Hebrews 12, we must also lay aside the sins that so easily beset us. Be not moved by false prophets or teachers. Get rid of the temptations. Get rid of the addictions in our lives. And trust in none other than God Almighty to help us along our way home. He is able to fight our battles. Now, as I mentioned, people will try to discourage you along the way. People will not have an understanding of why it was important to me to be able to stop by a church this evening and why I'm going to do that on Wednesday nights even though I'm traveling a little bit. It won't make sense to them. And I'm nothing great. I just want to be obedient to my Lord. And as you have convictions and as you go through this life, you would be surprised about the amount of people that want to discourage you along the way. Beloved, the closer you get to the Lord, a lot of times the more uncomfortable people get. Now, that works out great as we're, you know, trying to serve the Lord, and we come into contact with people like worldly wise men and hypocrisy and talkative and so many more that will try to discourage you as you live your life as a pilgrim. Right? And I won't get into all those. And then don't forget, he was named Apollyon in the book Pilgrim's Progress. But the devil, that old devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then I show you Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11. Have you turn over there about the old devil here. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Apollyon. He doesn't want you to do well in your pilgrimage. And the devil will tell you lies and discourage you to get you off the way. And then I quoted this verse a little bit easier, but I'd like to read it properly in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You just know that that's real and that's part of this pilgrimage. But you remember that you are to look up and look unto Jesus. And you also need to know again, what did I say? That this world on our pilgrimage is not our home. And you need to remember those things. And knowing this, that there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who think they know everything about everything. And some of them even profess to know the Lord. And will try to lead us down that broad way, but you stick on that narrow way. Stay the course, run the race toward our heavenly home. And then thirdly and finally, it is worth the pilgrimage. And I believe I can make this statement due to the fact that the Bible gives us about heaven. Due to the facts that the Bible gives us about heaven. So yes, we are just pilgrims passing through. And we may be beaten, thrown into prison, lose jobs, lose home, lose loved ones for the cause of Christ. Which is exactly why I keep going back to this phrase, this world is not our home. This world is not where I belong. Oh, I live here. But I am a citizen of that heavenly home. And I am on a pilgrimage just passing through. All I know, beloved, is that I am not home yet. And that I have a permanent home, a place of rest, of joy and peace. That I already read to you a little bit about that in John chapter 14. Again, we are strangers just passing through. We have a place prepared for us. So don't give up the fight. It's worth it. I know it's hard. And I know that you're tired and a weary pilgrim, but you keep on pressing on. Brother Powell used to say, keep on keeping on. And I remember that ever since he preached it. And it just blesses me so often. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hopefully give you some encouragement along your journey and your pilgrimage. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, the Word of God says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Right? "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." It says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And what is the love of God? The love of God is an everlasting love. Amen. This is what it says in Jeremiah. He loved us with an everlasting love. We are more than conquerors. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. Not no way, not no how. So yeah, it gets tough. And yes, this world can bring us down. But there is victory in Jesus. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Live the life on this pilgrimage. Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them where you're going. Don't tie yourself down to this life. As I said, we have a much better life to come. Heaven is the place of God's throne. It is the place of perfection. It is the place, watch this, where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Amen. That's glorious. I want to be where Jesus is. It is the place that we will be able to enjoy the glory of God forever and ever. Beloved, truly, how beautiful heaven must be. Let me tell you, let me encourage you. If you have been saved by the grace of Almighty God, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, I can say this by the authority of the Word of God, you're going to heaven. If you've been saved, I cannot tell you if you have. That is between you and the Lord. But I can tell you, if you've been saved, God's children will be with Him one day in glory. I know that. And I'm looking forward to that, and I'm thankful for that. Turn over, if you would, just a few more verses, and I promise we're almost done. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I didn't get started until, you know, way late, right? So I got to remember that as I go through. 1 Thessalonians, everybody on the internet is like, yeah, 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17, and the Word of God says this: For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We can comfort one another with these words. God's children are going to go be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That brings me hope and joy and comfort and peace and assurance. Your journey will be worth it all. We are going to that place of perfect peace, perfect singing and perfect fellowship, perfect everything. And as that song says, when we get to glory, all of those beautiful things, you look for me at Jesus' feet. I'm going to go and worship my Lord, and I cannot wait. Heaven will be that place of no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, no more canes, no more glasses, no more heartaches, no more bitterness, no more cancer, no more hurt, no more suffering, and no more sickness. And so many no mores. How about no more sin? No sin. Amen. What a glory that will be. And what a day that will be when my Jesus we shall see. I leave you with Revelation chapter 21. Revelation, it's really kind of a synopsis of the things that I just said. Revelation 21, and I'll read these verses 3-7. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Isn't that awesome? True and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The way now may seem rough and steep, but oh beloved, it will be so glorious to go to the place where Jesus Christ is, to go and worship the very King of Kings. As I close, remember, if you're here today a sinner, you are in destruction. And that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is able to save you. He is able to cleanse you from your sin and relieve you of that burden of sin. It is my heart's desire to see the lost saved. And I pray that God will convict your heart and cause you to repent of your sin and trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And saved pilgrim, I pray this message will be a message of hope and encouragement for you. We might go through a few things, but I truly believe it'll be worth it all. I thank you all for your attention to the Word of God. We'll turn the services back over to the pastor.